Alemãozinho do Forró.
Se você quer dançar, então me dê sua mão e a gente dança junto no salão. Baby, do you wanna dance? Se você quer dançar à luz do luar, solte teu corpo que eu vou te levar. Baby, do you wanna dance? Se você quer dançar, é só me chamar e a gente dança até o sol raiar. Baby, do you wanna dance? Se você quer ganhar o meu coração, é só cantar bem alto essa canção. Baby, do you wanna dance? É só me chamar e a gente dança até o sol raiar. Baby, do you wanna dance? Se você quer ganhar o meu coração, é só cantar bem alto essa canção. Baby, do you wanna dance? Se você quer dançar.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Zeke. I'm here with Bettina and Allison Elizabeth and a full house. This is Movement Museum, where we talk about dance on your radio, on your computer, on your mobile device, all over the place. And because we have the full house, my hands are shaking, my chest is thumping and stuff like that, so I have a poem. It's by Paul Hannigan, and it's called Hippolytus the Bad Dancer. The standing stock still that would be my dance for days and weeks and months would have them saying first, see how he keeps his ankles still and his arms at his beautiful sides, and even the fingers of his hands never tremble. See that! Until they got bored with the excellent stillness and left saying, he's dead, or a statue, or he has perfected slight movements we cannot see. Who would dare say he just looks scared to me? Or, I thought he looked ready to dance just as we left, badly, but to dance. Who? And who would dare say, I think that was his dance, and he did it very well. My hands are still shaking. My heart's still thumping. But we have a full house. This is a good thing. We have Brian Webb. We have Jamie Gogarty. Yes, in studio right now for the first half. We then have Mary Ellen. We got Elizabeth. We got all sorts of stuff. But for the beginning right now, we're going to talk about how you run a dance company, how you run a dance festival, and we're going to have to talk without making eye contact because there's a big screen in the way. But Brian, thank you very, very much for coming in.
My pleasure. It's great to be here.
Yes, and we should give a little bit of background about how important Hotsy Totsy is, significant, and just oomph you have.
Well, I don't know about that, oomph, but hey, power is great. You got to use it when you have it.
In a nutshell, it's you have your own dance company. You're also artistic director of the Canada Dance Festival, and I imagine there's lots of other background stuff there.
Well, dance is my life, obviously. I feel very fortunate that my whole professional career has been about following my passion, whether it's being a dance artist myself, which I still perform at this ripe old age, or being the curator of Canada's largest dance festival.
Let's go backwards. How did you end up being the curator of Canada's largest dance festival?
Well, years ago, in Edmonton, which is where I actually live, out there on the prairies, I needed to find a context for my own work. And so I started presenting dance from other communities in Canada. And I think as an artist, I brought a particular point of view as to how I did present and the interaction I would have as an artist talking to another artist. And so I was actually invited to submit an application to become the artistic director of the Canada Dance Festival, and that was back in 2001.
It's always better when you get invited to apply as opposed to just applying cold.
Hey, I was happy to be invited, and of course, I'm very proud to be the artistic director of the festival. And as a dance artist myself, I work with as much integrity to service the work that's being presented at the festival as much as possible.
Okay, and then yes, for concentrating on the festival, it's in terms of, I would imagine it's not quite as easy as just calling up or emailing a bunch of people and saying, hey, you guys want to perform and stuff like that.
No, it sure isn't. To begin with, contemporary dance, you know, is Canada's second largest, next to pop music, that is, second largest cultural export. And so the amount of dance that's being created across the country is actually massive. And it varies in style and content very much. And so to program a festival, I have to really consider dance that is being danced across the country, and to be aware of the changes that are happening in that dance.
And what do you do so as to stay on top, be aware?
The main thing is to experience dance. Dance is a living art form. I always say that dance is about the dancing, and without the dancing, there ain't no dance. So dance is about the here and now. It's about experiencing the dancing that's going on in front of you. For me, I love dance when the dancing and the choreography are so knitted together that you cannot separate them. When that happens, to me, it's a really good dance. And of course, there are numerous choreographers in Canada who have very strong international reputations through their careers who create amazing dances. But there's always dance that's coming forward from a new generation of dance makers. I find that dance particularly exciting, I have to say.
And yet you're in town for Sparks, so as to go see a bunch of these, right?
I am here for Sparks, and Sparks is showcasing the next generation of hot dancers from Montreal. Of course, we all know Montreal has a huge dance community with massive depth to it. There are so many people making dances here. The quality is extremely high, as is shown in the reputations that so many of the dance artists from Montreal have.
And so then, and by the way, Bettina, Alice, and Elizabeth, if you have questions, you should jump in here.
I do have a question. When you are looking for talent as you're preparing for your next festival, do you focus in on a specific theme ahead of time and then find dancers to fit that, or do you just go out and just see what's out there and then worry about how it all goes together after?
Certainly I worry about how it all goes together, but I would say, Bettina, that when I put a festival together, I work to make that festival as eclectic as I possibly can, because the dance experiences across Canada are very different. How dances are made, the resources that dance artists have, the communities that they're involved with, vary hugely. So unless I'm working on a particular theme, which is rare, I have to say, I look for dances that, first of all, move me and that give me a really strong experience, because I feel those are dances that I feel comfortable inviting the audience to experience. On the other hand, in 2007, actually, the Canada Dance Festival introduced b-boying into the festival, which is primarily a contemporary dance festival. If we're talking about contemporaneity in dance today, you absolutely have to recognize the dance that is happening with b-boying. At first, people really questioned me on that. Sometimes we get a bit focused too strongly on what we do ourselves, and people, dance artists actually, would say to me, oh, well, b-boying, it's such a fad. But of course, b-boying's been around for over 30 years. It's a way of dancing. It is not a fad. And it's a way of dancing that is bringing a whole new vocabulary, a whole new sensibility to what it means to be a contemporary dancer. And then last year, I actually focused on dance that was being created by Canadians from various culturally diverse and Aboriginal communities. And that brought forward a whole new way of experiencing dance, particularly in the many nations of Aboriginal peoples in Canada. There are equally a different number of ways of dancing. And that dance is quite powerful. It's very ritualistic. It's immediate. It's visceral. And I think that as Canadians, we should also be interested in experiencing that dance.
Yeah, that's great. So really you're focusing on innovation and quality and a showcase of specific Canadian character?
I would say so. I'm really interested in how complicated we are as a nation. And diversity is something that, as a Canadian, or as Canadians, we'd hold dear to ourselves. But sometimes we can only look at dance from one point of view. It's really important to open our eyes. I have difficulty with the word quality, I have to say, in that I am not interested in a golden mean, a standard. I'm interested in how dance, which I see as an art form that's alive in the here and now, how well the dance, each individual dance, reaches its own goals.
That's a good definition of quality.
I think so. I think it's one that really comes from the postmodern era, right? There are so many ways of looking at how, as dance artists, we may express ourselves. Express ourselves in the here and now. Express ourselves as living beings. And it can be quite a powerful experience. And to define it by a rigid standard, I think, would be a true mistake.
You clearly have a focus on bringing dance to audiences that they're going to enjoy, that they're going to fall into and fall in love with. And I think it's interesting that these days I hear that emphasis a lot, whereas perhaps it's because we're only now realizing in contemporary dance that we do have an audience, that we are done our phase of crazy exploration and we got to bring it back to people and make it more accessible. Is that something that you find is happening?
Certainly there's an element of that in dance. At the same time, I think as the director of a contemporary dance festival, I need to be interested in dance that is challenging the audience, that is challenging the art form itself. I think it's important at something like the Canada Dance Festival that we embrace the possibilities of dance. So I do try to balance work that draws the audience in with work that challenges the audience. I think we have to create a balance there between the two that is constantly shifting. But to present work, let's say, that was not challenging preconceptions, I think would be a huge mistake. We can get into a huge discussion on that as to whether dance is entertainment, which really entertainment is there to support one's preconceptions, or is dance an art form? And art, I think, can most easily be defined as expression that challenges preconceptions. So in my work as the artistic director, I'm looking for balances. I want to be able to do both. I want to invite the public forward and say, listen, I think this is a dance experience that you will get something out of. And on the other hand, I want to say, come on, you guys, let's wake up. We need to consider how this artist is expressing themselves and what dance can mean differently than how I thought before.
Yeah, one of the things that I find, especially now doing the show, I used to go to dance before I did the show and read the program notes obsessively and then try and figure out what was happening beforehand. And now I find that with the show, I ignore them completely and utterly until afterwards, and then sort of after seeing a performance, then try and see, okay, do the words jibe with what I just experienced? Yeah. How do you go about going with this? Yeah. For a show that you may or may not be looking at for the festival, how do you go about viewing it?
Well, I'm with you in terms of program notes. I don't look at the program notes until after I've seen the work. When I want to work to keep myself as open as I possibly can to the dance experience, which is not always easy,
no.
I have to say. As a presenter, I may sometimes see as many as 10 dances in a week. It's very hard to stay fresh and open, but that's my job. I am inviting people to experience something that is new. I don't want to dictate to them. So, you know, years ago, we always used to have pre-show chats. And really, these chats were ways of telling the audience, you need to think this way. And if you think this way, you will understand it. Well, we've stopped doing that because how people experience dance themselves from their own points of view, their own values, their own outlook on our social situation really becomes what the dance is about. And so we have started having post-show conversations where audience members are invited to talk about what they experienced themselves during the dance. Dance, unlike theater, is not a linear narrative. Dance is about the experience of dancing and the experience of life right now, in this very moment, and how we experience that really gives the work meaning. And so I think a dance can have many meanings. I used to go to dance concerts where I would hear artists say, oh, it doesn't mean anything. It can be whatever. And people would be very vague. And I thought, you know, pardon me, was quite a bit of bullshit. Dance does have meaning. But the meaning can be very layered.
Although I would slightly, sorry to interrupt, but there I slightly disagree with you in terms of, I'm a firm believer of definitely, because I feel everything is now swinging way too far to the left in that it's everybody is able to come up with their own interpretation of stuff and this whole sort of your conversations after the fact, how do they experience it, which is a valid, but I do find it extremely helpful to be have somebody lead, and whether it's me saying, keep an eye out for this, this, and this, or these sort of themes are running through, I find, yeah, that having that sort of voice of authority, which you can then either agree with or disagree with, is something which is, I hope, going to come back at some point.
Well, I disagree with you. I hope it never comes back, actually. As a, you know, as a curator, I'm conscious of the authority I have. I really work at my job with as much integrity as I can. But for me to dictate what you are going to experience in this dance event, I personally find that not too acceptable. Or even...
Let me rephrase that slightly. It's more in terms of, I find that when I'm watching a dance, especially going in cold and not seeing it, and then afterwards, it's sort of, yeah, because my dance vocabulary is negligible, to say the least. It's if there's some way for me to pick up, okay, keep an eye out for that movement because it appears here, there, and then at this point, that movement is particularly difficult because of these, I don't know, the arm combined with a leg combined with a head, that sort of stuff I would find extremely helpful, just sort of putting a spotlight on sort of things to potentially look for, as opposed to saying this is what the meaning is, much more on a sort of technical level, on a sort of foundation level.
Yeah, well, except for the fact as human beings, we're always trying to locate meaning, right? In everything we experience, we are looking for meaning. That's part of what the human condition is. So that for me, Chris, I don't avoid meaning. I think it's important. But meaning can be quite fluid. It doesn't have to be hierarchical. Yeah. And so, again, I feel the experience that we have actually defines it, defines meaning quite strongly. I like the democracy of that as well. And I think that dance is a very democratic art form. It's the only art form that has no artifact. You know, dance is about the body moving. And so the exchange that happens between people at a dance event is really important. It really is what it's about. I mean, I was at a dance concert last evening at the National, and I had a dancer. I was sitting on the floor, as we all had to, and a dancer came up and he lied down beside me and put his head in my lap to fall asleep during the performance. And then at another point, one of the women in the ensemble asked me to get up and to dance with her to a piece of music by Elvis. And of course, this was great because I was able to involve myself in the act of dancing, which I love. And it brought a fresh experience to me in the theater, which is a very problematic but wonderful place. And so I think to be able to have a personal connection to the work is what it's really about.
Yeah, that's, I agree with you entirely in getting that personal connection. I just know that I find if I'm focusing in on stuff that my personal connection comes a lot quicker than if I'm just trying to take it all in at once. But that's my personal thing. Okay, we can stop flogging this dead horse.
Okay, sounds good to me.
I have a question, because you have been, you have your own dance company, which you started in 79?
That's correct.
32 seasons of contemporary dance. Have you seen a change? Any kind of great shifts, seismic shifts recently?
Well, dance is constantly shifting, and there have been seismic shifts. There have been huge shifts in my own dance. I mean, my background was from the New York formalistic school of modern dance, and I made dances that I wanted to be perfect. And at university, when I did my master's degree, I was actually introduced to feminist artistic practice, which is really, again, about democracy. To simplify it, would be about we all have a story to tell, and each of our stories is of equal value. And we can share these stories and find commonalities. For me, the biggest shift came through that, in that my early dances, I worked so hard to prove my individuality and my own genius. And then I started making dances where I was out to locate commonality with the people experiencing the dance. That was a seismic change for me. And there are changes that happen in dance, as there are in all art forms, that are seismic. I would say the one that we're in right now, with the importance of dance from popular culture, particularly b-boying, but all hip-hop, is really important. Equally, one could say the influence of diversity, and we see this really strongly in Bollywood, is huge. I mean, here we have dance programs, you know, like So You Think You Can Dance, where dancers are asked to dance Bollywood. I mean, I will tell you, 10 years ago, that would not have happened. To me, that's an important change. That is influencing dance in the popular culture, but it is also influencing dance hugely in the fine arts. And we really see that in the vocabulary of dance. I mean, I hardly go to a dance show now that doesn't have several b-boy moves in it.
That's very cool. So basically, there's more cross-pollination. It's becoming less strict and linear. And exactly. People are looking for fusion.
I think so. I mean, it's a global world. It's impossible to avoid that, I think. And that's reflected in the dance that's being made.
So no more purists.
I'm sure there will be some, Chris, who will disagree with me on that. But
actually, as far as where and how dance is going, we're pretty much on the same track.
We are. Okay.
It's there. I'm fascinated by just how everything is coming together.
Yeah.
And there still are those, in my eyes, distinctions. So you still can get somebody who is a contemporary dancer. You can still get somebody who's a classical ballet dancer. You can still get somebody who does only popping. But somehow, I figure in about 2 years or so, something's going to squirt out the other side, and it's just going to be a completely different type of art form.
Yeah. And I agree. I think it's important to be able to define oneself. For me, as a practicing dance artist, I'm not afraid to say I'm a contemporary dance artist. I mean, I'm 59. I don't b-boy. You know, I don't break. I don't do it. It's important to be able to say I am a ballet dancer. It's important to be able to say I'm a Bharatanatyam dancer. It's important to say I'm a b-boy. You know, sometimes with our penchant to embrace all, we can create a bit of a gray mush. I think dance that is pure in its directness is important as well. I would I think it'd be so sad if everything became all the same. In our diversity, I think it's important for us to embrace the concept of diversity. It's important for us to be able to say that all dance is beautiful, but that doesn't mean it has to be the same.
No, you can maybe adapt and embrace certain elements from another culture, but you cannot become another culture. You cannot become an Inuit dancer if you're not Inuit.
Exactly.
Because it doesn't come from the soul.
You got it. From the bones, from the soul. You, absolutely.
Yeah.
With all this going on, and going back to that concept you had of staying fresh for each show, how do you balance going in there with the history and the knowledge of the dance, as well as kind of a blank slate to let that make a new impression on you?
As a curator, it's important, I think, that I'm aware of history. I think as an artist as well, I need to be aware of history. I don't see ignorance as a virtue, okay? I need to be aware, but I need to be able to acknowledge that without being a snob about it. I need to be open. And I think that's where the freshness comes. It also comes from the words I say when I say that dance is alive in the here and now. I don't say that lightly. I really believe that. I believe in the dance experience I'm having at this moment. I believe in dancing with another person, feeling that person's body. That's as important to me in dance as it is making artistic dance where I may be dancing a solo. They're different experiences, but they're both finding communication.
If you're in a show and you really don't feel that communication, or you're really not enjoying the show, how do you carry on without shutting down? Or do you shut down?
You can't shut down. If a person is paying $1 to see you dance, it's your job to not shut down.
As an audience member, though.
Oh, as an audience member? Well, sometimes I do shut down. I don't necessarily feel good about myself when that happens. On the other hand, if I'm not afraid to say, this dance is not working for me, I don't like it, I wish I was not here, and I can shut down. I don't like everything. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty critical.
As you should be.
Exactly. We have to be able to talk about quality. We have to be able to talk about the experience that this artist is offering one. But you need to be able to do that as a dance curator, I think, from a knowledgeable point of view. It's my job, it's my duty to be knowledgeable. I have to make myself knowledgeable.
For sure. Do you ever work with anyone else to kind of get a different perspective on work?
Always.
Yeah.
I mean, I think right now as I'm here in Montreal as part of Spark, I'm with 10 presenters from Europe. I mean, their points of view are very different than mine. The way they look at dance is very different from the way I look at it. That challenges my preconceptions, it challenges my ideas, and what I may feel is gospel truth today, I may totally refute tomorrow. And I'm not afraid to do that either. I think it's important for me to be fluid, but at the same time, I'm working from, I would say, a knowledgeable point of view.
At the festival, so it's, as far as the festival goes, if you say, yes, I want this in the festival, it's in the festival, or is there sort of other people, is there a programming committee that you direct lead?
I do use committees sometimes, like, for instance, when I did the b-boying, as a theme, I mean, who was I to invite this b-boy and not that b-boy to come to the festival, because I was ignorant, but I know much more about it now. I know enough not to call it breakdancing anymore, you notice. it's the form is b-boying. And I've learned a lot. The group of people who were advising me were crucial in my learning experience and opened me up to things I wouldn't have considered with it. And certainly it has been the same with my interaction with artists from the many culturally diverse and Aboriginal communities in Canada. I think particularly in we look at Aboriginal dance as a form. And there are over 70 nations in Canada alone. And that means there are 70 different ways, over 70 ways of looking at dance. And the dance from one nation to another is very different. I can't know about all of them. I'm just one little guy. So I can't know about all of them. But if I was to embrace my ignorance as a virtue, that would be a real problem. It's my job to learn. And the best way to do that is to interact with knowledgeable people. So for sure, I use advisory committees. At the same time, I am responsible for the programming, and I stand behind every work that's at the festival. That doesn't mean I love every work that's at the festival, but at the very least, I believe that every work that's seen at the Canada Dance Festival should be considered.
If I was running a dance company and I had my heart set on being at the Canada Dance Festival, is there any tips, tricks, or hints you could give me on how I can get my company?
Who paid you to ask me that? The best way is to develop a relationship with the presenter. Again, each presenter is an individual. You can't know the work of every artist in the country, particularly those emerging. It's a reality that as careers develop, there get to be fewer people doing it. But at the emerging level, there are many, many dance artists. I can't know them all. So it's really important that people try to get in touch with me on a very social level. Talk to me. To send me a DVD is a total waste of time. I can't watch every single DVD that's sent me. Talk to my colleagues around the country as well. Talk to the dance presenters in your own community, who I guarantee I have a relationship with. And we talk about artists all the time that we feel each other should be considering. I think to be presented at a festival, everybody should have the right to be considered. Not everyone does have the right to be there. And the festival can't present everybody, nor should it. Festivals are highly commodified events. There are events where audience members may experience, say, 26 different shows in the space of 7 or 8 days. It's competitive. I think a person needs to be ready. Their work, in other words, needs to be ready to put in that hothouse environment. I really find it upsetting when artists come to the festival and their work fails, and I've invited them. It is upsetting, and it would be naive to say that that never happens. It does happen where an artist has it's not a good deal, it's not working, probably the event should not have happened. When that happens, I try to work with that artist further. I try to rectify it, in other words, in some way. But it's all about relationship building. And relationships are two-way streets. It's the job of the curator to put themselves out there, but equally, artists have to be willing to make the move to talk to that presenter as well.
Bettina, you got anything? Allison, or we can go for a break now?
I think we should play some ads.
Okay.
Yeah, pay some bills.
Yes. And this is, if you haven't figured out, this is Movement Museum. I think I forgot to mention all the stuff at the top of the hour, so I'll mention it now. It's on CKUT 90.3 FM, 91.7 on your cable dial, movement-museum.blogspot.com on your computer and on your mobile device, and we will be back momentarily after these messages.
Museum, opinions, and primary voices. In a world increasingly reduced to a who markets louder philosophy that is, by definition, going to steamroll contemporary dance right out of existence, Movement Museum is an hour-long talk show where all you will hear is honest and compelling opinions. Opinions on why dance matters. Opinions on why dance. Opinions on what dance matters. Opinions on what dance. We talk to dancers, choreographers, teachers, composers, academics, audience members, producers, presenters, and anyone else with an opinion on dance. What moves them? What do they like? And most importantly, why? Live Thursdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, and archive for all of eternity Friday mornings at movement-museum.blogspot.com.
Deep breath, and here we are again. How do you like that? Didn't say we're back. My name is Zeke. I'm here with Bettina and Allison Elizabeth and a full house of stuff. In the background, you hear Charles Papasoff live. Just Charles Papasoff live. He's playing with a bunch of people whose names are on the other side of the CD, so I'm not going to recite them. This is Movement Museum, where we talk about dance on your radio, dance on your computer, dance on your mobile device, dance anywhere and around. And Brian, thank you very, very much for coming in. The Canada Dance Festival happens like next August or something, next doc?
The Canada Dance Festival happens in every even-numbered year. So we've just had a festival and we're working hard on the next one.
Okay.
Thank you for inviting me. I had such a good time. It's always a pleasure to be able to talk about something that I'm truly passionate about.
Now, we're going to have to, I don't know, go take Jamie out for a drink or something like that, because he didn't get on microphone at all.
Well, maybe you always have to make payments, don't you?
Yes, of course. But now we have Marie-Hélène of Voulez-vous danser avec moi.ca.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. C'est l'autre côté, et ça c'est une autre chose qu'on va discuter. C'est est-ce qu'on va le faire en français, or are we going to do this in English, or are we going to do this entre les, dans les deux langues?
Well, I'd love to try to do it in English, and then you can help me.
Okay, no problem. Because, yeah, that's one thing that I find as far as dealing with dance, there are, to my mind, two sides, and I repeat this to just about anybody who will listen to me, but there's the participatory side where you're actually going out and doing it, and then there's the, what I call the performative side, where you're going out and watching it. And Allison Elizabeth, bless her soul, gets to do both sides because she performs and does the participatory stuff because she's up on stage sometimes. I, unfortunately, have very little desire to do participatory stuff, things like swing dancing, tango, and so on. And you, as far as I can tell, are the queen
of
that.
Not at all, but that's the only thing I do. And I must say that I do meet professional dancers when I go partner dancing in Montreal.
But a little bit of step back a little, because we know that there's the website voulez-vous danser avec moi.ca.
That's right.
How did you start that? What is it in your own words?
I think I started it because there wasn't one, and I wish there had been one. And I'm not from Montreal. I moved to Montreal and I discovered totally by chance that there was a lot of partner dancing happening. So I started by tango because there was a tango school next to my apartment. It was really a coincidence. And then bit by bit, I discovered this whole world and was having a lot of fun and spent 10 years, literally, copying addresses and phone numbers on napkins for my friends until I thought I should put my address book on the web and make a website. So this is really how it started. I saw, meeting colleagues, neighbors, friends, people want to dance. They just didn't know where they could go. They didn't know this was happening. Why I picked partner dance is because doing it, as I said, by chance, I had never danced anything before. I was not the little ballet girl, I was the little piano girl. I discovered that not only dance was an experience that I now think is in our essence as human beings, but having to do with a partner adds a lot to it. Ryan was saying earlier how much he's interested in dance itself. I'm interested in people. I love Montreal because I meet people from everywhere. Now imagine if you dance with them. This is fabulous. So, to be practical, and also because this is only a hobby, this website, I limited myself to partner dancing. I list on my site every partner dance evening that happens in Montreal or nearby accessible in public transit. So that's what the website is all about. And it's French. This is an English site that I try to keep up as updated. And twice a month, for people who subscribe, it's free, I send a little email of what's most interesting, what's new, because on top of the regular dances that happen every week, you also have special dances from time to time.
Is there any particular style? Like, you say you started with tango. Is tango still your first love and your true love, or is there another type of dance?
No, you want to talk about me, about the side. I started with tango, and every year I try something else. Salsa, swing, traditional Quebec dance. Everything is different. Everything is rich. I always come back to tango personally because I find this is where there's a more space for improvisation and communication with the other partner. But to come back to the site and to what's special, I thought my contribution to this show would be I would try to make it practical because, as I said, I never meet people who say, I don't want to dance. I meet people who say, I don't know where. Well, I'll get you. I'll go for coffee.
For those who are
I'm
done.
I'm shy. I don't know how. They think it's something that's not for them. So I was going to suggest you something to try, something fun. There's a lot of swing being danced in Montreal, and for people who start, that's what I suggest, because it's fun. You cannot dance swing without a smile on your face, and you can actually learn pretty quickly a few basic steps that will allow you to have a nice evening. Contrary to tango, maybe Argentine tango will take you a bit more time to actually have fun. So if you go on the site, you'll find everything that's happening in swing these weeks, but next week there's something really, really neat happening. Next Thursday, at the Rialto, which probably you know, a very nice room on...
I saw the Ramones there.
You saw the Ramones there. It's a very nice place on Park just south of Bernard that's been bought by people who want to use it more and more for dance. There will be a swing evening for you. People who don't dance, show up at 8. There will be a class, one-hour class, that's included in the price, which is only $12, given by the Cat's Corner School, and they're very good at teaching in 1 hour the basics. So you show up at 8, and then from 9 until 1 o'clock, there will be two bands playing, a big band, 19 musicians, and then a sextuor, early jazz band, yes, taking over the music, sextet. So for 4 hours, you'll be able to dance on live music. And if really you're not ready for it, I'm sure if you go, you'll just be sitting at the edge of your chair wanting to jump on the floor, but you can just watch and enjoy all these dancers and this music.
Yeah, so there's a humongous difference between dancing to a live band and dancing to something that is pre-recorded.
And watching the dancers there, the quality of swing in Montreal is really going up. It's really, I have taken a person to a swing evening who said, no, I want to watch hockey tonight. There was a hockey screen in the restaurant, so he did watch hockey. I tell you, the big band started. 10 minutes later, he said, I want to try. Then he jumped on the floor. And by the way, if you want to listen to that band that will be playing next week at the Rialto, you can go tonight. They're playing tonight at the Pub Saint-Paul in Old Montreal as well. I don't give you all the details because you can find them on the website.
Now there, it's the sort of thing where to me it's just... Actually, no, I was going to go back to you and I realized, no, let's keep it on the website.
Let's keep it on the website. Let's go dancing.
And yeah, that's one thing that I also quite like about it is where it's on, you have it set out by days. And so it's the sort of thing where it isn't it, because there's one point where I was trying to compile a list and just got completely overwhelmed.
Actually, the first space is always where you can go dancing tonight, because every night, that's the neat thing about Montreal, every night you have a choice of many places where you can go dancing. But if you go to the next page, there's a little... research motor that you can use, and you can choose by days or type of dances, or you want to dance on live music or with DJ, you can decide. All summer there was also outdoor dancing, now it's almost over, but you can select according to what you want. There's also a map of all the dance halls in Montreal.
that's also going back to the reality, the one thing sort of just to combine everything together and make everybody's head spin is Edward Locke of La 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 Human Steps has his studios upstairs at the Rialto.
Yeah, they do rehearse on yes. the top.
And I wonder, I think they might come down next Thursday.
I don't know.
So what if somebody wants to dance and tango looks really good, but they've never danced? Do we also have links to like dance schools or lessons?
Okay, so what I do, as I said, once again, this is a hobby. So I try to limit myself so that the site is at least always as accurate as possible. Anybody who organizes a dance evening is on the website. Often it is schools. And I always put a link to their website. So you can start by my site and find out about the schools. And actually right now, and in early January, is always a good time to go for trial classes. They're free. You go for an hour. You see how they work, because every school has an approach. You might want to pick up the school that's closest to your work or your home. But there's really a big choice in Argentine Tango in Montreal.
And you don't need a partner, because that's usually the tough part.
Okay,
Do you have to show up with your buddy?
No, well, actually, you phone, you ask when you go. It depends on the schools, but more and more, they will help you find somebody. You're not the only one looking for a partner, often. And some schools do something that I love. You just show up and they change partners. The class starts, you start learning something, you practice with whoever you're with. They make sure they have even numbers of leaders and followers. And after a few minutes, you change, you rotate. This is how the swing class will be taught at Trialto next week, I know, because this is how Cascorne functions.
I know, I took that class.
Didn't you enjoy
it? Yes, and it's actually better, because your partner is always going to make the same mistakes, which means you are going to always make the same mistakes. The problem is I'm really tall, so everybody else in the class was like a foot shorter, and it's really hard to do the underarm turn when you have to duck.
This is
so
true.
If there's any dance classes for tall girls, just can you put that on the website?
This is interesting. I know one tango school in Sherbrooke who, when they ask the people to fill out the form to register, they ask, how tall are you?
Oh,
if they're
excellent.
Looking for a partner, they're trying to match the height.
See, modern technology at its best. I like that.
No, but you find partners dancing. I've started dancing. I was alone. I often go partner dancing alone. I just show up there. After a while, you make friends. Montreal is a big village. And you find out people your height, and also people you like dancing with. Mm. Some people I love dancing with, and I don't have anything to tell them if we go for coffee after. Others, it's totally the other way around. When you dance with somebody, there's another form of communication that happens. It's so interesting.
Mm. All right, then.
With classes, because this is one thing that I know, I'm thinking of taking classes in a different media, in a different field entirely, and I did an awful lot of research on the teachers, saying I don't want to be like, there's a Mark Twain line, those who can do, those who can't teach. And so I did a little bit of research to make sure that I was getting one of those who's one of the better can't do's. How would you sort of go about trying to figure out if they're good dance teachers, bad dance teachers?
Well, this is something that I would like to not talk about.
Oh.
Because, as I said, I am not a dancer. Mm-hmm. I'm not a specialist in pedagogy or things like that. This is a hobby for me. As a person, I took many classes off the air. I can say, you know, this person I like better, but for many reasons that maybe would be different for you. As a whole, I would say that people who come to teaching a partner dance with a dance background, they had many years of training. To me, who was new, they were better because they started with the body. They started with the posture. They started with breathing. They didn't start with dance. They didn't teach me steps. They taught me about my own body. And then we got to dancing. For me, that was necessary. But for somebody who comes to partner dancing after years of dancing, maybe they don't need that, you see? So, next question.
Okay. then if you'll allow me a question about you, what is it that you... Can you describe what it is that attracts you to social dancing, partner dancing, whatever you choose to call it? Because that's something that, given that I don't have that gene, emotion, whatever you want to call it, I'd love to identify what it is.
Well, after trying partner dancing by chance, I tried other things. Balletti and flamenco and, you know, ballet jazz and dancing on my own and for myself and yoga. This is all fine and I still do it and I love it. Why I chose to put more of my free time on a website about partner dancing is because of the two in there. I said I'm not from Montreal, I come from a small place. In Montreal, I see a lot of loneliness. Some is lived happily, some is not lived so happily, but lots of people live alone, function alone, work alone. You get good at what you do. Some people are very good at functioning alone, but you also forget the knowledge of being with. And I find I find, through since 96, that the testimonies of people I've met who came through partner dancing and still do it, there's something very rich in having to do with somebody. It adds to the fun. If it's sometimes swing or salsa, there's a lot more fun, or Quebec traditional dances too. You laugh and it's great to be with people. And also in the depth of the conversation you have with, or the experience you have with the music, having it with somebody, you find this is in English, huh? You find out a lot about the other, but also so much about yourself. So that's why I keep doing partner dancing. And if I pick that particular example, it's because I've heard it also from a lot of people. You grow more. I mean, if I take somebody who's in front of their TV all the time and suddenly starts dancing, whatever they dance, it's great. They love it too. But having to partner dance, having to walk to somebody and say, would you like to dance with me? Voulez-vous danser avec moi? And doing it for 3 minutes and everything that goes with it, you have to try. What are you doing next Thursday?
I'm busy.
We get him really drunk.
Prior plans. Now, there actually, I have at various points danced. One of the things that pleased me no end recently was last year at the Biennial. There's, what was called the Chipset Band, which is a band that does music only using from old video games from the 80s. And so it's very high-pitched, squeaky stuff. And back when I was a young punk, knee-high to a grasshopper, I would always have this habit of being the first person on the dance floor, dragging somebody with me, and then I'd sort of break the ice so that everybody else, either at the party or at the show, the band playing, would then come on the dance floor. But I got old, I got fat, I got lazy, I got tired.
You know what? Come and don't dance, because the other great thing is it creates places where people go to be together. Partner dancers don't drink very much. You don't have these evenings that end up with everybody drunk and saying stupid things. They dance, they talk. So it's lots of politics has been talked about there. Just helping each other. Hey, I'm moving next week. Do you want to help me? It creates social networks that I find very interesting. Also, because in Montreal, I found when I came here, you have little, not really ghettos, but people are go to certain bars if they are of a certain kind, money-wise or whatever. When you go to partner dance halls, you have people from age 18 to 75, from all walks of life, and they talk. This is fabulous. Now, are you still busy next week?
Yep. Yeah, as I just finished, it was this 2 years ago. I said I went to see this band, and here I was, the fat old lazy guy. And then I still drag somebody on, and I dance, and I did the same exact thing, broke the ice. So, yes, I can dance, but it's...
I'm sorry I interrupted you. I thought you were telling me you just didn't want to do it.
No, I didn't. It is. I don't want to do it. It's, I can, I know how to do it, but...
Just come for the vibe, then. Watch the people smile and have fun.
We'll get you back on, talking about a little bit more. There's this sort of chipping away at the ice.
But if you want, I can come here every couple of months. Like, I sent my email... a couple of times a month. Mm-hmm. I sent my email this morning to people who subscribe to the mm-hmm. site. So this is why I had my research done. I do that every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I can come back and suggest one thing each time and change. Sometimes tango, sometimes salsa, sometimes depending on what you let me know too, what you would like to hear about.
That would be very cool, because there, to me, it's one of the things that I find endlessly fascinating with the show being archived forever and ever, all eternity on the internet. The second most downloaded show we had was we had this woman in here, Kitty Wilkes, who does clogging. And she came in on Christmas Eve last year and clogged in studio, talked about clogging, and for some reason or another, that is like one of the top downloads ever. And I'm just fascinated because up until her showing up, I had never heard of clogging. And as far as I can tell, it still is sort of like the bastard child of tap dancing. And, yes. So short answer, yes, please. Because it is something that, because I refuse to dance.
Just out of curiosity, does everybody dance here? Like,
Not professionally, no.
No, but for fun?
Yes. Yes.
Weddings, you know?
Yes. Also, you know, like we had a hoopers in here. So this show does a lot. So we get hoopers in here. So I start hooping. And because... I couldn't find anybody to do on Thursday. I'll be in Germany, so it'll be a little tricky. But I sort of dabble a lot and try out a little of everything.
Just to meet the people who dance. People who dance reach out, you know? Mm. So it's a nice crowd to be around.
Yeah, I totally agree.
At which point, Primetime has shown up. Positive Vibes is coming up. Marilyn, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
We will figure out if it's 2 weeks, if it's next week, if it's next Thursday or something like that. Brian, Jamie, thank you very, very much. Allison, Elizabeth, Bettina, thank you again immensely. You guys make me sound and look better than I have any right to be. My name is Zeke at Smith Museum. Thank you all for listening. We will speak to you again next week.
O alemãozinho do forró.
Se você quer dançar, então me dê sua mão e a gente dança junto no salão. Baby, do you wanna dance? Se você quer dançar à luz do luar, solte teu corpo que eu vou te levar. Baby, do you wanna dance? É só me chamar e a gente dança até o sol raiar. Baby, do you wanna dance? Se você quer ganhar o meu coração, é só cantar bem alto essa canção. Baby, do you wanna dance? É só me chamar e a gente dança até o sol raiar. Baby, do you wanna dance? Se você quer ganhar o meu coração, é só cantar bem alto essa canção. Baby, do you wanna dance? Se você quer dançar.